Tim Simpson. I'm an author, writer of 40 books. They're all available on Audible and paperback and hard copy. But today I want to talk about one of my books. It's the Noir series. And what I want to do is post some stuff to social media, something I haven't done ever in promotion. So I've just recently started putting books on some of the platforms like TikTok, Facebook, Reels, things of that nature. So what I've decided to do is do an actual video of me talking about each one of my book series so everyone will get to know what they are. And if you decide you want to purchase one, you can contact me and I can give you the details. Or you can Google author Tim Simpson and see my Amazon, Audible, iTunes pages, and you can purchase the books there. First, I want to talk about Detroit Noir. Now, why the noir? Okay, it came back to when I was a child, I enjoyed the 1950s, 40s, 30s noir movies. Humphrey Bogart, Edward G. Robinson, James Cagney, some of my favorite childhood characters. From the Maltese Falcon and things of that nature. So I decided to write a whole series based around the 1950s, 40s, 50s, and so Detroit Noir is the first one that I did. The book, the first one, is Jack Manson, The Axeman Cometh, which is also a play on The Iceman Cometh. It takes place in around 1953. Jack Manson is your typical gritty detective. He come back from the war. His wife had run off, and so he's been alone. He's just been working as a homicide detective for a few years now, and he's working with his partner Roger York, who's a family man, who has also been in the police force in Detroit for many, many years. Both of them are war veterans. When I say veterans, I'm talking World War II. So both of them are working the cases in Detroit. Then you got the flip side, which is the mob. The mob is real heavy throughout Detroit in the 50s. And my main mob boss is Manny Van Johnson. He kind of runs everything in Detroit. He is the top boss in the city, and he didn't just get that way. He was actually moved into that position by a much higher force, I'll say. Throughout my books, you'll notice there is a theme. There is one guy who's not even American who is controlling a lot of the mob families, and he has a lot of power, and he places these individuals in power over certain cities, the bigger cities in the U.S., and in this case, it's Detroit, and Manny Van Johnson is placed in this seat of power. Now, a lot of that's not revealed into the first book. That comes later. The first book is mainly introducing the characters. I have some great colorful characters, and some of them you might remember if you're a fan of the old Dick Tracy comic strip and some of the other stuff. I pay homage to a lot of those great storytellers of the days when I was a kid. I used to get the Sunday comics and read the Dick Tracy strip because he was the homicide detective, and he had all these really cool characters that were named after their appearances. So I've used a lot of that tradition, like Shoulders. He's in this book, The Rat, The Mole. Some of these characters are peppered throughout the book, and they're really, really fun characters. And there's a lot of humor in it. There's a little bit of romance. Jack, for one, he's madly in love with an African-American singer who sings in a jazz club. And, of course, in the 50s, even in Detroit, there was still some segregation going on. So that wasn't looked upon as a positive thing for that time period. It was kind of frowned upon, but he didn't care. Jack has always been outside the box. He doesn't care what people think or anything. He's just a man of his time. He's the guy that goes to jazz club. He has a scotch, smokes a cigarette, talks to Molly. So for the time period, it was unusual, but I want to make something that's fun for people to read. So I've got the Lips Malone, who is a kind of a swirly kind of nightclub owner. He owns part of the mob, but everybody answers ultimately to Manny Van Johnson. And so the first book takes place in and around Detroit, and it kind of introduces the characters. But underlying, there is a murderer running through the city, you know, killing people with an axe. And Jack is actually being framed for a lot of this, and you got to figure out why and who done it and why. You know, so there's a little bit of a mystery to it. There's a lot of fun to it. There's some romance, some humor. And then the second book is called, it's also Detroit Noir. It's book two. It's Dylan Shepherd. He's a PI. And so in the second book, basically I've expanded on the universe a little bit. Dylan Shepherd appears. You'll see him, a glimpse of him in the first book, but then the second book's mainly about him. Like, he's friends with this Italian couple that's real eccentric, and they're really fun. It's kind of like the Addams Family or something. They have just this wild, outlandish house, and they have wild animals running everywhere. And so you'll get to know them, and they're fun to get to learn about. There's also, of course, Molly's back in it, but there's more of a mystery here. There's also the main story, and then there's a kidnapping story in it also. So it's kind of two stories running at once, and Dylan Shepherd is heavily involved in all this. And then in reading order, the next book would be Chicago Noir. And all these books are also available on Audible, and they're great to listen to. I have some of the best narrators, I think, ever, from here to Europe. They're just fantastic. And then, as I was saying, Marla McDonald, the Chicago Noir. That book is unique because Marla is an African-American private investigator. She worked inside the police department as a desk clerk. And what happened was she wanted to be out in the street. She wanted to solve crimes. At the time, the police department was starting to use females in more of a role of a detective, police officers and things. It was very, very thin, but she wanted to move out of the role of a secretary and into investigative work, but she couldn't, so she went out on her own and become a private investigator. And she actually took a guy from the police, his name is John Stone, took him from the police department. He joined her, and he ends up killed. And so the whole investigation about what happens there, but at the same time, we've got this one guy that's controlling everything also has his hand in Chicago, and we start to see he had power, and it was crazy power. He can control commerce, politicians, everything, and we start to see it kind of falling with this book. He's starting to lose grip. Well, then in the next book that you'll read is Detroit Noir Book 3, and we continue on with Jack Manson, Manny, and the rest of them, and we start to see this guy holding power has lost Detroit. Manny just bucks the power, and he wants to branch out on his own, but he's having trouble because everywhere he turns, this guy has everybody under his thumb. And then we go to 1954 Noir, which is a much larger scale book. You will see bits and pieces of characters and events happen throughout the series, and in this book is no exception. One of the characters in this, one of the main characters, also appears in Marla McDonald. The building in New York that a lot of the action takes place happens back in several other books, including New York Pulp, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. So a lot of these books, all of them intertwine. You can also read them as a standalone book. The stories are intricate, excuse me, the stories are intricate, but they have interlocking stories, but also their own story is going on with the characters and the people and things. So when you move through the books, you can just read all of the Detroit Noir and you'll be fine. Or if you just want the Marla McDonald book, you can read that as a standalone book too. But if you want the big picture, you have to start from Detroit first all the way through. Then you go through 1945, which is more of a after the war book. It happens in 1953, same time period, same areas, but a lot of it takes place overseas with it's about Hitler actually escaping Nazi Germany during the war. He went to Argentina, and there he's taken somewhere else and forms his own reforms a military, and so he starts doing espionage and he starts doing terrorist acts and things like that. So a group is hired by the government to go in and stop him, and it's a pretty good action filled book. The narrator I have for that one in Audible done a great job. And then we have we got the 1945, then the New York Pulp. That's a fun one because it takes a lot of, I took some ideas from my favorite pulp characters. Pulps were kind of lowbrow magazines that come out that predated comic books. And they were just stories about these characters that would disguise themselves. And so it was your precursor to the comics that we know today. So I took a lot of the ideas from that and I put it in one big story and took it, and it's part of the noir universe. But it's also, again, it's a standalone book. And in this one, you also see the guy who he's identified by this time, that's controlling the crime, is starting to really lose his grasp. And so in this book, we see one of my favorite characters. He's a villain that shows up in Marlon McDonald, as his name's Ellis Davis. And he's a psychotic. He has no care in the world. He does things for his own pleasure. He has no concern for anybody else, has no feelings for anybody else. He's just crazy, wild. He'll topple a building and wonder why everybody's upset. He's a fun character, and he is really showcased in New York Pulp. And from there, I've got in the works, I'm doing a prequel to Manny to show his rise to power. And it's a fun ride because you see how he was placed on the top. And then I'm currently working on a Jack Manson prequel. It picks up right after the war and the story that led him to where he was at. And you'll see how his relationship with Manny Van Johnson's there. And so I'm working through the books. I've got a few more coming out. I'm going to do an Ellis Davis standalone book, which is going to do more about his background. It's going to be just, with Ellis, anything goes. His mind is so screwed up that there's so many things going on. It's unbelievable. So I can just have fun and imagination, let it go wild in this book. I think I've covered about most of the noir books, but they're very fun to read if you get into the Detroit noir and just stay with it. You'll see glimpses of some of the old Bogart stuff. You'll see some glimpses of the Edward G. Robinson, and you'll see a lot of things that will harken back in it, and it'll give you that feel of being in the 1950s at that time. So if you stay tuned to some of the videos I'm going to post, I'll be talking about other books, that other series. I have many, many series out running right now, and a lot of them now are still going, so just stay with it, and I'll keep everyone updated as we go along. Thank you.